Welcome to today's podcast show. Today we have Michelle joining us. She is originally from Boston in the United States and now calls Madrid home. So thank you for joining us today, Michelle. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So can you tell us a little bit about how your life was like in Boston or before you moved to Spain?
Okay, so I'm definitely like a traveler. So before I was even in Boston, I had been backpacking in South America and landed in Colombia. And I taught English there for a year. And then I decided, okay, maybe it's time for me to move back home and like settle down, in quotations, if you will. Right.
Yes.
And so I went to Boston and I got a teaching job. I taught Spanish at a high school. And then I started a master's program for teachers who teach foreign languages. Okay. And so it was every summer and I did it for 3 summers. And one of the options, well, it's 4 summers, but one of the options you can do is do a summer and then a year in Spain. And after my 3rd summer, I said to myself, what am I doing? Like, why am I teaching Spanish here in the United States? Like, why am I in Boston where I grew up? And so part of my makeup is that I like to travel and like explore. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take this opportunity to finish my master's in Madrid. And I finished my master's in Madrid in 2019, January. I came here January 2019.
Okay. And I'm assuming then you decided not to leave.
Then I was like, options I could do was teach English in a program, found a program called USECAM. Mm-hmm. Works with Middlebury, which was the school that I did my master's program with. And they oftentimes, I don't know, that's a word I'm working with.
It's okay.
They take students like me and get them to teach in schools. And that's how I'm still here.
Okay, excellent. And I'm assuming that you came here by yourself because you were doing your 1 year program here.
Yes.
But you've moved a bit. Did you go to Colombia by yourself? Like, are you used to moving and traveling around quite a bit by yourself?
Yes. So the first time I really did travel by myself was when I was like backpacking through South America with a friend when we were like 23, 24. It's something I always wanted to do. And I didn't want to do it alone because I was 23 or 24. And we did it. And I realized, oh my God, you can meet so many people. You really aren't alone. Like, you feel alone, but that aloneness is actually better because it makes you more dependent on yourself and more kind of like self-aware and aware of your surroundings rather than like, I don't know.
The friend, lots of times you're in conversation, you're hanging out, you're talking. So you're not always aware of everything around you. And I find too, because I do a lot of traveling by myself, I meet way more people when I'm traveling by myself.
It's the best thing. And what happened was I was backpacking. I did a little program in Chile and then I went home and then I was like, I'm not ready to be home yet again. And I went back to Colombia and that's when I did my first solo adventure and I went around and then I ended up living in Bogota and teaching English there. So, but that's true. I think it's what brought me out of my shell.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm already kind of extroverted, but I think I wasn't too confident. And I think doing that is what made me become more confident in my abilities and being like, oh, I can do things.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people think, oh, moving to a foreign country, it's so scary. Or I heard so many times, oh, I wished I could, but, oh, I have kids. Like, I have a daughter. I moved to a foreign country, moved to Costa Rica first when she was 13. And then they say, oh, well, you know, I have a job. But I had a company in Canada. I ran my company and I did it remotely for a long time too. And I just find that people just, they say they want to. I do believe that they do, but a lot of people are just too scared. They always think like, what if something bad happens or something negative happens?
Oh my, well, that's what my whole family said to me. They were like, when I went backpacking, they were like, you know, be careful. Oh my God, you're going to Colombia because... I had to like be an ambassador for the world to my family and be like, no, people like you and I, like living, they go out, that enjoy family time. Like fear does hold us back of like, oh my God, my job or or like my friends and my family are here, but if you really want to do it, you can. Anyone can.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So what have you found was your biggest obstacle with moving to Spain? Did you find something? I mean, because you took a bit of a different path because you brought you were here for school and you had that initial reason. So it is a little bit different.
So, okay. To coming here, my biggest obstacle was quitting my job and leaving my life because I was like just starting my adult life, if you will, mm-hmm. or what people just think is our adult mm-hmm. life.
What society thinks that we should do isn't necessarily society's wrong. A lot of times society is wrong.
And that was like, and it was a really good job and I really liked it. There, it wasn't like I hated, I mean, I hated some things, but
of course
that was the hardest thing. And I left in the middle of the school year, which is never a nice thing to do to your students. So that was really hard for them and for me and for my colleagues as well.
Right, right. That would.
But I had to do it for me.
That's right. And I mean, you are the most important person in your life, and you need to make yourself happy. And I believe that about everybody. Everybody needs to do what they need to do to make themselves happy.
It's true. And the thing is, if I hadn't done it, if I had waited a year and like taught, okay, the spring of 2019 and then came here in 2020, I would have lost a whole year because I would have been stuck in the pandemic or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Something in my gut was like, you have to go now. Yeah. Because the people I was working with, they're like, can't you just wait the year? Can't you just wait until like June, finish out the school year? And I was like, no, I have to go now.
Yeah. And, you know, and even though we never know why, sometimes we get those gut feelings, but I think 90% of the time, maybe even more often than that, that it's right. And when you have that feeling that says, you know, you need to go now, then that's when it needs to happen. And if it needs to be for you, then so be it. I mean, obviously they had some things to handle and deal with, unfortunately, because you left, but I'm sure they did fine. They dealt with it. They figured it out.
They did.
So, yeah. What was the biggest surprise that you had about Spanish culture? Or a few of them, if there were several, it doesn't have to be just one.
I don't know if it's surprise or things that irk me.
Okay. Well, one of the other questions was going to be something that frustrates you. So, you know, you could go with
that. Let's just do this, but the fact that like people just kind of like eat very late and life is very like late and outside here. That was a big surprise, like especially in Madrid, but I'm pretty sure throughout Spain, like their life, I feel like just revolves around like being together and sharing meals, but also like being outside and being like, whereas I feel like in the US, where I'm from, at least it's more like inside and it's a little more isolated in here. It's a little more outside and sharing. And I kind of knew that, but it surprised me more because it also made me like, I don't know, made me be outside and more social. And that's one of the reasons why I like want to stay.
Yeah. And I agree. And I think because I'm from Canada, near the border of the US as well. And it's winter. I think that's a big part of it. Winter is long. It's cold. There's a lot of snow. So we do get outside during the summertime, but it's short and we spend a lot of time inside. So we have bigger homes because apartments in Spain or Barcelona for sure are very small. And it truly is an outdoor lifestyle. They come home for a few hours, sleep, and then it's out. Like you said, they get together to eat, they eat outside, they go to the beach. And that's what I love too, is it is such an outdoor life. And it's because the weather is great. You know, I'm not sure exactly what date that this will be published, but today's date is the 29th of January. And here in Barcelona, we're supposed to hit 21 degrees. Like it is unusually warm. It is unusually warm, but usually it's about 15, 14 kind of thing. So today I think we're going to get to about 21, but even 15 in January, the end of January in Canada, maybe once every 5 years that might happen. But
I... Nothing. Today it's 10 to, it's cloudy and a little bit cold. It's about 10 degrees. Hopefully, oh no, no, the sun is coming out and it will be about 13 degrees by 6 p.m. here in Madrid.
So, and I think that's, and then that's part of the outdoor lifestyle, because even on terraces and patios all year round, some places will have heaters and stuff, but you'll see people with heavy jackets on in January or February if it's cold, having coffee, having lunch, and everybody's outside all the time.
And it's so funny that it's like that. I had a professor say to me, you know, these restaurants, they don't have zoning like things for these terrazas. They're just kind of like putting tables in places. And during the snow, the post-snow apocalypse here in Madrid.
That you had this year, yeah.
People were putting tables in like in the middle of the street. So they were still going to, even though there was like a good amount of snow on the ground, it was like, they love being outside. They love it.
Rain or snow, which for people who didn't know, a few weeks ago in Madrid, a huge snowstorm came through and you guys had a lot of snow. Even me coming from Canada by the Rocky Mountains, I saw pictures and I almost started to laugh. Like, I just like, oh my gosh, that reminds me of Canada. And I saw people trying to scoop snow with like dustpans because it just doesn't happen in Madrid. It was quite funny. I'm sorry. I did have to, because I'm used to snow, but in Madrid, not that much. It was a lot of snow.
It was so much snow that I think 60 to 70% of the trees were like really badly affected. Mm-hmm. Like, and you're still, which is sad, but they can't handle the snow. They're not
used to the weight of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, but yeah, they definitely were living their terraza lifestyle, even in the snow.
Well, that's great. That's one thing we love about Spain. Let's see. So how has your kind of expectations of moving abroad compared to the reality of it?
So I guess, I don't know. My expectations were probably like, oh, this is going to be a fun change. Fun. And the reality is it is fun, but also I have to work. Not like studying abroad.
No, there is the fun, but then there's reality. I mean, it's still life and you're not just on vacation.
You're not. And the other thing is like, I don't know. I didn't think, like, I thought expectations like, oh, it's going to be fun and easy, but then you get here and the reality is it's difficult to try to stay here and live here as an immigrant, as an expatriate, et cetera, because the bureaucracy here is very intense. And to get things done is a long time and it's stressful and annoying. Mm-hmm. And in the USA, I wouldn't have to deal with it like this. I'll tell you that it's still complicated, but not as complicated as it is here. So
I think sometimes I wonder, I'm like, are they testing me? Are they testing me to see if I really want to be here or not?
Yeah, they are. They're like, you can have hoop in the other hoop. Mm-hmm. So, that's like the reality of that here. Like, you don't think about those things, I think, until you are living them.
Right. And in our home countries, those are things that, you're right, we don't think about, we don't have to deal with, which I'm sure coming to the US or even for Canada, we can talk to people that say, oh my gosh, the bureaucracy, the paperwork. I'm sure they probably have similar experiences as well. So you've been here for a little while and in Madrid. So what are some of your favorite things to do in Madrid?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just moved. So I now live closer to Retiro, which is like the park, the Central Park. And one of my favorite things is just to walk through there. I love it so much. It's really become like a huge part of my life here. And I don't know why, but I'm just so in love with this park.
Good. That's good.
Also to travel when we could.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And go out to eat. There's a lot of restaurants here. There's a lot of different cuisine. And so go out to eat and try, you know, different cuisine here. And not only Spanish, but other things with friends. So things like that. Very, very normal. And museums, which finally I'm taking advantage of because we don't have a lot to do these days, or we can't do a lot. So museums, and there are a lot here in Madrid, and they're really nice.
Oh, good. Yeah. Here in Barcelona, we've got some amazing museums. as well. And with the restrictions in COVID, they're not very busy. A lot of them are giving free time for locals here because the tourism is, there's, I think in 2019, we had 30 million tourists come to Barcelona, and Barcelona only has a population of, oh gosh, I'm going to say that number's going to be wrong. I know it's definitely less than 2 million people of just the city of Barcelona. The greater population, I think, is closer to 5, but just the city of Barcelona itself is under 2 million, I recall. And we have, I think it was 30 million tourists in 2019. It gets so busy here. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing that has been nice in a weird way, because it here as well, I don't think as much as in Barcelona with the tourists, but it's been nice to experience the city without tourists because you feel cool.
And yeah, you know, and I think, I mean, there's nothing we can do about the pandemic. It is what it is. The restrictions are what they are. But I think everybody, especially in major touristy cities or touristy places, can really take advantage of truly enjoying their home city without all the tourists, because it's not going to last forever. You know, like London, New York, Singapore, Tokyo, like all of those places, even though they're already busy, but with all the tourists and stuff, it's even worse. So I think now is the time for people to truly take advantage of, you know, their home city, or if they live nearby in the same country, to go to those places if they can before tourism starts to pick back up again.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, because it will. And now these cities are like, hey, and it was really nice after like they lifted at the end of quarantine in spring when they were lifting like restrictions, people could go out more. It was the first time we all started to realize, like, whoa, this is what the city looks like without tourists. Right. It was, like, very nice.
Yeah, it's very different. There's times I've looked up and I'm like, wow, I've never even recognized that building before, because I had to watch where I was walking because there were so many people.
Yeah, yeah. So even though this is a terrible time, there are some, like, nuggets of gold.
Of course. There. And we, you know, we have to stay positive and find all those nuggets for sure.
Yeah. So
what are there some things that you wished you would have known about moving to Madrid before you ended up moving?
I wish I knew that actually it got cold in the winter and it snowed. I would have chosen a different place.
Fair enough. Well, lots of people, when they think of Spain, they don't think of snow. They would think Spain doesn't snow, and they're actually Spain does get snow, and a good part of it gets at least a little bit of snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in the mountains and such. But yeah, now I know that it snows every half a century here. So I'm just kidding about that. I don't know. To be honest with you, like, everything here I really, really like, and I'm very happy with my life here. So,
okay.
I don't know.
So then, is there anything that you wished you would have brought with you from the United States?
My snow boots. I didn't think to bring those, but you do. And like, and now I realize, like, oh, there are mountains outside of Madrid. Mm-hmm. So you can go hiking. And the snow is not just this year, but year round in the mountains. So things like that, I didn't think to bring. What else? No, that's it. Like, just those, like,
well, yeah, and back to it, because a lot of people may not realize that the northern part of Spain is the Pyrenees Mountains, and they kind of border there through the border of Spain and France. And then there's a tiny country between the two, Andorra. I don't know if you've been there yet. And it's like it's all in the mountains, and many people go there to go skiing. I'm not sure the distance from Madrid to Andorra, but I think Barcelona, about an hour and a half or something, that people can be there, and it's very popular for snowing. So a lot of times people can, in the fall or sort of the springtime, they can go snowboarding or skiing or something early in the morning, because there'll still be some snow in the mountains, and then they can make it back to Barcelona to enjoy some of the warmer weather and the beach in the afternoon.
That's so nice. I guess I wish I brought, like, my snow gear. In a way, like, I have skis at home, and I just didn't think of that, because here to rent everything would be cool, but I have everything at home, so I might as well bring it here.
All right. Well, maybe you'll bring it back after you go back home to visit, and then you're like, wait, I am going to start to bring some of these things.
Yeah, great.
Let's see. So I guess we've talked about a lot of different things. So what tips or advice would you give somebody who maybe they're thinking about moving to Spain, they're not quite sure, they're kind of on the fence? What would you say to them?
I would say do it, because I have really enjoyed Spain. Spain is full of, like, sometimes it's hard to mix in with Spanish people. I would say that's something that is, like, hard to do. Mm-hmm. But can do it or get in some sort of program. Or for me, for example, through my job, I've met more Spanish people. So that's allowed me to, like, meet people mm-hmm. that are from the country that I've chosen to live in. So, and I would say do it, first of all. Spain is beautiful. It's small, so you can travel easily. The transportation is great. Mm-hmm. Food is amazing. It's close to other countries. And I don't know, the lifestyle is one of my most favorite things about living here, is that it's not like work, work, work. It's like you need to enjoy life and work, and but make sure you enjoy life and your people and your friends and mm-hmm. family and the things that are around. And so I would say do it, and maybe research a little bit about how you want to do it, and reach out to people, and especially reach out to like Facebook forums, like the different, like, I don't know, pages that have lived there, so you can know, like, what to do and how to get there, and ask questions.
Facebook is good for that. I mean, you know, of course there's going to be trolls on everything, so you just have to keep that in mind a little bit. But generally speaking, there's so many Facebook groups, like just expats in Spain, or there'll be people like US in Madrid, or Canadians in Barcelona, or I mean, there's so many different groups. Or I'm in a couple of groups that are just girl groups in Barcelona, you know. So, and I'm sure there's football fans in Madrid, and there's so many groups out there that you can join and get different people's perspectives, because what people want is different. So,
yeah. And I would say also think about what kind of place you want to live in, like here. I have everything that I need and want. And I also feel very at home, because there are some things that are at home here. Like, it's not like living in a small country, or I'm sorry, a small pueblo or a village, for example, mm-hmm. like where you don't have a lot of access to, like, comforts of home, if you will.
Right. Where you're one more with nature and space and not around a lot of people.
Yes. And able to, like, really improve your Spanish and really get to meet people, because then you have to. So it depends on how you want to know about it. There's so many different options, but mm-hmm. Spanish people are pretty cool, pretty open, and it's a fun experience. I don't know. I love Spain.
All right. Great. Well, thank you very much, Michelle, for your time and sharing your experiences with us and your input. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. Nice to meet you.